Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. San Juan Regional Medical Center is your community hospital, committed to making life better for the communities we are privileged to serve. In fact, better is our mission, improving lives through personalized health and care. What matters most to our patients matters most to us. Offering a comprehensive range of inpatient, outpatient, and emergency care services so you can get the quality care you need right here at home. San Juan Regional Medical Center, celebrating life better here since 1910. KSJE is supported by Aztec Motocross. Located on Highway 173, Aztec Motocross offers a safe and competitive racing environment for the growing off-road and outdoor industry. Upcoming racing weekends, September 24th and 25th, and October 22nd and 23rd. Also, the New Mexico State Championship Motocross Race Series, October 8th and 9th. Find out more online at aztecmotocross.com or 505-393-5222. Fourteen minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Monday morning, the 12th day of September, 2022. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air here in San Juan County, New Mexico, up in Durango, Colorado. You can tune us in, of course, at 103.3 FM. And if you're anywhere else on the planet, you can always listen from our website, streaming all the time from ksje.com, or you can ask your smart speaker to play KSJE. We are glad that you are with us, everyone. We also welcome our viewers who are watching this visual radio program. The video is streaming live this morning out to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. So welcome aboard, everyone. Glad that you are here. Coming up in the next few moments, my guest from the city of Farmington, David Seifer, is here, the Community Works Director, to talk about, well, one thing, a major road project that's just been announced for the city and county. We'll talk with him about that, as well as some of the other projects he is working on throughout the city these days. That's coming up in the next few moments right here on KSJE. Next hour, of course, Mick Hess will be here roving with the arts, our weekday classical music program. This morning, Mick is playing some music from the female composer, Mel Bonus, and also Felix Mendelssohn. You'll hear some of those pieces coming up today at 9:06 on Roving with the Arts. Don't forget, of course, you can also connect with KSJE on our Instagram page, in addition to Facebook and YouTube and Twitter. And if you're a podcast person, we invite you to subscribe for free to KSJE Podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. Outside our studios here at San Juan College, it is a partly cloudy morning today, 61 degrees at the moment. We are expecting a partly cloudy day today, maybe some increasing clouds as the day progresses. 85 for a high in Farmington today before things cloud up overnight tonight with a pretty good chance of some showers developing. 62 overnight tonight with a chance of showers. More rain in the forecast and cooler weather tomorrow with a high of 76 on Tuesday and an overnight low of 58 before things dry out again on Wednesday. Partly sunny skies, 76 for high Wednesday. Things begin to warm back up with a high near 80 on Thursday, 82 on Friday, and maybe mid-80s again for the weekend. Well, let me introduce my guest who is here with me this morning, involved with a lot of things in the city, it seems. Anytime you see an orange barrel, you think of David Seifer. But here he is. Good morning. That's a horrible introduction. Good to see
you. That's a great reputation, Dad.
No, it's not. Orange means progress, right?
Yeah, boy, does it.
Yeah.
It means that our citizens are getting taken care of.
There you go.
And I like that.
That's true. But you stay pretty busy with all the projects that are going on in the city. In fact, we've got a map, I think, to show of just how many things are going on at the moment, because the city kind of keeps track of that on the website, right?
That's right. And we provide that service for our customers so our citizens can look and see what's going on and see, especially if they can do their own summer planning, generally in the construction season. you want to avoid those spots if you can.
Right. Well, and some projects are bigger than others, right? Some may be just a sure. some work along the side of the road. Other may be a complete lane restriction or road closure or detour or what have you.
Right.
I've been through all of them, yes. it seems, this summer. So thank you for that.
You bet.
But I wanted to bring you on to talk about a lot of the projects, but the major one was the one that was just announced just a few weeks ago. You were at the press conference, and I was at the press conference, and $40 million project, which is a lot of money.
A lot of money and a lot of time in the making. This has been a great benefit to the city, being able to have this project actually funded now.
Right.
And so we're moving forward.
Been talking about it for decades, which is not an exaggeration.
No, not an exaggeration. Maybe close, first concepts maybe close to 30 years ago, and certainly more than 20 years ago when land acquisition began.
Right. And so the city has been working as it's been able to afford to do some of this land acquisition and some of the plans and things to move this forward, and the county, we should mention, too.
Yes.
It's kind of a project with the two entities, and sure. then, of course, the state's now involved as well. But this Pinyon Hills Boulevard extension is what we're talking about, everyone. And so the concept, if you're not familiar and you've been living under a rock for the last 30 years, is that Pinyon Hills Boulevard would be extended south from its intersection with East Main Street and then travel across the Animas River.
Yes, and then go to County Road 3000.
Right, to hook up with County Road 3000, and that's kind of the city's major portion of it,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's phase one and two. And then phase three will be the county's portion, which should begin in about 2024.
Okay. And so, and that would take it up onto Crouch Mesa and ideally hook up with the other road at the top of Crouch Mesa.
County Road 390, and then from 390 to County Road 3900. Eventually, what we'll have is a full link to the Bloomfield Highway.
Right. And it kind of jogs there, but the idea is to hook up with the already completed Andrea Drive, I think, is the irony.
That is correct.
To go right into 64.
Yes, yes.
And then that would create, if you're visualizing it, everybody, this kind of almost bypass or cut across Crouch Mesa, linking Highway 64 with Highway 516 right in almost the middle of the shopping district of Eastern Farmington.
Absolutely. It's really going to be a boon for traffic on Main Street on Highway 516. And it's also going to be wonderful for those people in Crouch Mesa. That community is really, if people haven't been up there in a while, it's really growing. A nice new subdivision going in now. And as that grows, it's going to take a route what used to have been taken all the way down to Browning Parkway and then loop back up to do some of the shopping at the major outlets.
Right. And so it seems like win-win-win-win, but it comes with a price tag, and that's that $40
million. $40 million. I don't know that there's been a larger project by grant funds in the city in the past. I mean, it's a wonderful project and really a great blessing to our citizens. As you grow, nobody ever likes maybe the road to go through their backyard. However, it's just a fact of growth that if you don't plan, would you rather sit at an intersection for 20 minutes while you're waiting for traffic? And so this is future planning at its best, started well in advance, and it will facilitate nice traffic movement throughout our town. I just love the fact that I can go to a traffic signal in town and my weight is nothing compared to the large cities.
Oh, true.
I mean,
very
nothing.
True.
And I'd like to keep it that way.
There you go. Well, nice to hear you say that, because you're the guy in charge of that type of thing. So
yeah.
that's good to know. And this involves all kinds of things, and I guess we hear the term a lot, but this is pretty shovel ready, isn't it? I mean, you're planning to move dirt within 6 months, I think.
In 2016, we had some funding that we thought we could move ahead with, and because of the economy at the time, the Department of Transportation pulled that funding. And Scott, to begin with, I would say, you know, you mentioned that we've been working on this a long time. The initial part that is done now, the right-of-way acquisition and the environmental work and the design work, we've already spent $4.5 million in yesterday's money. So
Right.
a significant amount, and most of it was grant. So that's good news. But yeah, not only a lot of work, but a lot of money in the past.
And so you don't have to redo that work,
don't,
right? Most of it. And
no.
The land acquisition is the land acquisition. The city owns that property, and that's where the route will go.
Yes, that is true. And the thing that is kind of causing us a momentary delay is the environmental work expires after 5 years, and so we're having to redo the environmental work. And we're in the phases of that now. There'll be, in fact, we're going to have a community meeting that if I could, I'd
yeah.
like to invite the public to. We really always need all the input we can. I'm a believer that input that we receive really needs to be put into practice and into the final design. So that will be October 13th at 6 to 8 p.m. It'll be at City Hall.
Okay.
And so also people can join us virtually if they would like.
They'll be streaming it. So
yes, they will be.
You can check that out. And again, it is moving forward. I mean, that's the plan. And
yes, absolutely.
And I guess I always had heard that maybe some of the biggest expense of this project was the bridge, because it's going over the river, maybe going through some wetlands or other areas adjacent to the river. And that always needs a bit more environmental study, I guess, when you're going to do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, if I could, this is basically three phases. And phase one is about a $10 million project, $9.3 million for phase one. We're, as you know, in a terrible time of inflation. So it's really hard to totally put your thumb on it until you get the bids. But that's the plan right now. Phase one, which would take us to Hubbard from 516, would be about $9.3 million. And phase two, which would take us over the bridge, would be almost another $30 million. And hence phase one and two, the $40 million we've been talking about.
Right.
In addition to that, the county is planning for phase three, which would go up the hill after you cross County Road 3000, and that would be probably about another $12 million.
Right. And it sounds like the state, at least the governor, seemed pretty favorable towards finding the rest of that money.
Yeah, we were very pleased to hear her announce that.
I mean, she said it on tape.
I mean,
it's recorded.
Yes, she did.
So
I love it.
There's a record of it.
I couldn't have been more pleased.
Right. And that, so that we may hear more from the legislature in 2023, perhaps, for the rest of that.
So. Yes.
And so that's kind of the idea. But I know, as you mentioned, this has been talked about for decades, and just the money has never been available to do it all. And I think the state likes to do a road project when there's a beginning and an end, not just to build a road
yes.
to nowhere.
Yes.
And so that's kind of been the holdup, I think, for
well,
all these years.
This has definitely been the region's number one project. It's not like it's been a sidebar. It's been the number one project, and that's what it takes to do major projects. You know, when you're talking about things like late night horse, or if you're talking about, you know, another bridge crossing of the Animas, those are expensive and big projects, and yes.
Right.
It's been in the works a long time, and it has to be.
Sure. Well, and if the communities had to pay for it on their own, I mean, that would have taken a lot of, I don't even know if there's enough bonding capacity to do that.
Well,
it would just take years and years and years, wouldn't it, to sell bonds?
That's why it takes so long. And I used Lake Nighthorse as an example because it impressed me when I first got briefed when I came here 10 years ago that Lake Nighthorse was begun in 1902. If you can imagine it, and was finally built in the late 80s.
Right. And that's part of the larger Animas La Plata Water Project, which was part of that. And that
that's
was
correct.
A big federal, I remember, I think about $160 million back in those dollars, and that was decades ago. And
yes.
So I know you've talked to me, too, that when this was first being talked about, you could have paid for this project maybe for $10 million, $15 million, not 40.
No.
Or 40, you could have paved it in gold.
More like 6 and 8
okay.
back when we first talked about it.
Yeah.
But again, there was a lot of hurdles. There was a lot of property acquisition, and the environmental had hardly begun at that point.
Right. And so, but that's, again, I guess the idea is if you wait, the price is only going to get higher.
It's only going to get higher, and this is definitely going to be a necessary connection. We you know, when you talk about probably the foremost things we look at in life is our safety, right? We want protection and safety in the things that we do. That's why we have a house. And, you know, basically that's a really nice thing for the Crouch Mesa and vice versa. The flow of traffic or being able to have emergency services to that area is going to be very important.
Right. That's another big component of this too, right? Yes. As much as we love the convenience of being able to get to the mall quickly or, right. or the other stores on the east side of town, being able to get emergency vehicles up right. and off of Crouch Mesa right. is another important thing. And rather than having to go either to Browning Parkway or Flora Vista, as you mentioned, this is providing a third river crossing in the middle.
Absolutely. And when your staff that you've hired at your city employees are doing their job right, things are planned in advance so that we don't first have to have all that awful congestion that I described at the first of our show.
Right. That's very true. And so the city has a page on their website all about this project, and I think they'll be adding things to it as yes. it progresses, right, is your plan?
We'll be adding quite a few things to it. It'll keep people updated and informed. But for now, just please make a note, because we haven't put it on the site yet, about our town hall meeting
in October
on October 13th. Yes.
Okay. It'll probably be there by the end of this week, I bet.
I would.
Once you get back to City Hall.
Once I get back.
I think a memo is going to go out here to the webmaster, perhaps. But there you are. But this will be, and so timeline, you're hoping to break ground next year on phase one?
Phase one, we really hope to bid this out in early spring and have construction in late spring. Okay. That is our plan for phase one. And phase two, we're hoping that we can get all the necessary environmental work done and actually bid that next spring as well. The county, if all goes well for the county, and they're going through some acquisition, and which can be, you know, items come up that you can't really plan for. But if that goes well for them, they'll be bidding their phase three while we're bidding our phase two.
I see.
And that would be ideal. We're hoping for that.
Got you. And then, of course, the other part of it would be a total county project, and that's when they would kind of take over, right, for
yes.
the other part that goes up
right.
the hill.
But I'd like
for
to
that
say,
$10 million.
It'd be really cool to have it done simultaneous. People thought about, it's in three phases. Does that mean we're going to have to wait till 2030 to make it all the way through? The answer is no. The county is on it, and they're very progressive on this. So
it sounds like maybe all three phases could be under construction simultaneously. They're pretty close to the same time.
Close. Phase one would be wrapping up when phase two starts.
I see.
And
okay.
then phase three could be simultaneous with phase three.
And four, so completion, two, if things go well, I don't want to put you on the spot, but
well, probably
how long
it,
would it take?
Probably just figure a year and a half or 2 years
okay.
after the last startup. So. So 26, spring of 26, probably.
Okay, there you go. But that is, a major project. We talked with Arvin Trujillo last week from Four Quarters Economic Development and about all the economic development opportunities that a project like this would open up. Certainly, whenever you input $40 million worth of construction projects with the jobs and the materials and everything else, that's a big boost as well.
Well, that's a huge boost all by itself. But then making this connection for those folks around us who need to be able to get into town in order to shop, it's going to be great. And then you open up all this corridor where people can purchase their businesses, and it's just going to be a great boon to the area
right.
economically.
Some more development maybe coming with some of that as well.
Sure. If you can cut 10 minutes or 15 minutes off your journey, you may want to go ahead and build a house there too.
Right. True. Very true. David Cypher is my guest this morning. He is the Community Works Director with the City of Farmington, in charge of many construction projects and improvement projects throughout the community. This is the biggest one, I think, probably on your plate now,
yes.
and one you've probably heard about since you took the job
here
in Farmington. They've been telling you about it for years.
When I went on my job tour that day that I interviewed, they took me to Pinion Hills and pointed it out. So
one of these days we're going to build a road there is what they
right.
said, right?
That's right.
So there you go. But in the meantime, you've got a bunch of other projects going on that we've been talking about. Again, the map that you have also on the city's website at fmtn.org shows the current and projected future projects, community works projects, not all road projects, but most of them, I would say. But one of them that we wanted to point out was up on Foothills Drive.
Yes. We've had a great success in getting grants, and it's been almost, again, exclusively grant funded through the years. It's taken a while. When I first got here, we were working on phase one, and we introduced phase one, two, and three at that time in our community meetings. One of the main issues there, not only did the road need reconstruction, but people were very, very concerned about the speeding there. And so that's when we introduced the concept of roundabouts, just because they're such a inexpensive way to control the speed of traffic and to provide for future intersection needs that would take away the need for signals in the future. And someday, like it or not, we're growing and will grow. And so signals are a reality for the future if we didn't do something like this. And so this is a great, again, a good planning step.
So this phase includes another roundabout on
Another
Foothills?
roundabout at Lakewood, and we learned some things at Rinconada, and so we'll be making some good improvements. We had a wonderful meeting not long ago. The community had a decent turnout at that meeting. We had about five people speaking and gave us suggestions about the roundabouts, how we can improve those, and we took them to heart, and we'll be making some changes. So the roundabouts are really great because they're so economical. In the long run, they save and pay for themselves quickly because of the signals, and it slows down the traffic. People were coming down that hill at pretty
Well, it's a
terrible
pretty straight
speeds.
shot without the
Yeah, I
roundabout.
mean that's just human nature. You
Right.
have a straight line of sight.
Downhill.
I mean that's and downhill. What are you
Yeah.
going to do? I mean
Right.
that's. I
As
think
some
we've all
people, I think, found
experienced
out when that roundabout was installed that they still wanted to go straight.
that.
You can't do that anymore. You got to pay attention. But that's what's coming up. And so that should start when, do you think, for
Next, it will
this
be a bit
phase?
out next spring, maybe late summer, or excuse me, early summer, late spring, early summer.
20th Street has been under construction a little bit. That's part of an ongoing project to, well, partially bury the utility lines, the electric lines,
That is
right?
true. It was a project that the council came up with about 10 years ago. We've done it in three phases, and again, I'm proud to say we're able to get grants for most of it, majority of it. Demonstration project, if you will, to do two things. One, bring up 20th to the current ADA standards, the American with Disabilities Act.
Right.
And
And that's
no,
sidewalk ramps and things like that to be able to cross the street safely and those types of things, right?
That is correct. That is correct. To facilitate disabled access to the town,
Sure.
and so that's been a really nice enhancement. Plus some decent sized sidewalks. And yes, guess what happens when you remove the telephone poles from the middle of a sidewalk? It's a really nice thing. And the council wanted to see what that would be like. We don't have an exclusive corridor, and they thought that 20th would be it. And kudos to council. They really, that was a good thing, I think.
Right. If you take a look, and I think a lot of folks maybe don't even realize that the power lines are gone until they really look for them and then say, wow, the power lines are now gone. And it really does, I think, open up that corridor, and that's a pretty busy retail and commercial street in
It
Farmington.
really does. And so the last portion of those poles are not down yet, but they will be by the end of this season. And there may be a few stragglers as you wait for different communications and such to be removed from the poles. The poles should be all cleaned up in the spring of next year.
And the goal is, I guess, to have them all the lines gone from Main Street along 20th all the way to the school. Is that
That's
the idea, to the
correct.
high school?
That is correct. Yeah.
And that's the plan. And then who knows where it'll go from there if
Right.
the council wants to do more.
Yes. And there's so many things going on right now. I don't know that it's a priority. I don't see anything else on the book to follow up on that at the moment. But it could become another project they'd like to do.
Sure.
But right now, I'm just so pleased that they did it in the first place.
Right.
That's nice.
Right. Another area I want to ask you about that's been done for a while and just to see how it's going is downtown, the big Complete Streets project. That's another area where I think the utilities have been put underground and with a lot of underground work that was all part of this project and the addition of the roundabouts. And I think from what I can see, if social media is any indicator, that people were kind of didn't know what to think about the roundabouts at first, and now I see less and less negative comments.
No, I'm seeing more and more positive all the time. When you haven't driven a traffic control method before, it gets concerning. I know when I was a young man, in my 20s, I went to and lived in Ireland for 2 years. When I first saw a roundabout, and they're multi-lane roundabouts,
Yeah, those are fun.
I was I was excited because when you're that age, you just love to try death out and see what happens, you know. But as I got used to them, I had no problems negotiated in it. And but it's a new concept, and you have to get used to it. Single lane roundabouts are very easy in contrast, and it saves the citizens quite a bit of money. Those signals just it costs so much each year just to maintain and operate them, let alone the cost of installation. And so we'll make our money back in about 5 more years,
Gotcha, from those changes.
and pay for itself from there for eternity as long as we
Right.
have them.
Gotcha.
Yep.
And I know, and you're talking about the cost of a traffic signal, a traffic light, and that's got the equipment and the power and everything else, and that's what adds up to these
Sure.
costs when you're deciding what to
Sure.
do at an intersection, whether a
Right.
traffic signal or a roundabout
Right.
or what have you.
And we usually limit what when we're going to use a roundabout to where we have average daily traffic of 20,000 people or less. So this was a perfect application.
Right. And that's some of the things that drives these decisions, right? You have the city has certain policies or in place about, at an intersection, what do we need to do here? Is it a stop sign? Is it a roundabout? Is it a traffic light? What types or yield?
Oh,
Those are
sure.
all in
There's
policy, are they not?
yes, we have our own local policy. In addition, we follow the federal policy, which is called the Manual of Uniform Traffic Control Devices. And so we try, it's not anything that we just normally
What
come
does
up
David
with
Cipher
for
want to
ourselves. Yeah,
do
that's right. What
at
does
this
David
intersection?
Cipher, what would we like to do to try out something new this time?
Right.
So,
But that's how we get here to some of these things. And so if a
right.
neighborhood wanted to say, "Hey, we're seeing a lot of traffic in our neighborhood," I assume they could probably petition or ask your office to take a look, and you put in some of those traffic counting devices and actually tell us how many
Oh,
cars are on that street.
absolutely. We do that anyway throughout the town every year. We have places that are of high volume that we continue to check and monitor and see if they need upgrades to the systems. And then when people get frustrated on whatever their given situation is, maybe a teenager is running up and down a 25 mile an hour zone at 50 miles an hour. We try to do all we can do to help out each
Sure.
individual situation.
Well, I bet you can pick up the phone and call the chief of police too from time to time. There may be some other patrols on that can happen.
Absolutely.
Before we run out of time, I want to talk about water a little bit and
Yes.
drought and some other things. And the city seems to be in pretty good shape after the year we've had. We've had a pretty good monsoon year.
Well, we have two factors that are wonderful. Now, factor one, we had a council that really saw the future and got us Lake Farmington. With that, we have such a backup. Scott, when you think about Lake Farmington, it is a body of water that without replenishment and at maximum use during summer months would give us 20, 90 days of water.
Right.
So that's an amazing buffer against drought. And yes, we are in
I'm not sure
a
how many
drought.
communities in the Southwest have a 90-day supply of drinking water at their ready.
I don't think very many. Plus, it's turned out to be a great recreational opportunity for our citizens. So it's been really wonderful for us. But number two, we were just flat out greatly blessed this summer. We had an early snow melt, and so it was lining up to look like we might have some water shortages that we would need to conserve with and such. And what occurred was we've had awesome monsoon this year. Couldn't have asked for a better, and as you described in the forecast, we have
Right.
something
More's
coming up
coming.
on
Yeah.
Tuesday. And
Right.
more importantly, for actual water, because all of our water comes from surface water, is that almost without fail, almost daily, we've had water in our headworks up in Silverton and in the mountains there, so.
Right. Which is great. And the level of the lake, I mean, we hear about Lake Powell and Lake Mead, which are troubled. Farmington Lake is at 98%, 99%
Yeah, it's about
capacity.
99.5 now
Right.
at the moment. We went down for a little while because we had so much monsoon going on. The river was had quite turbid, quite a high turbidity, and so I asked that we go ahead and shut off the pumps for a while so that we don't A silt in the lake, and also you pick up some impurities that you don't want in the lake.
Right.
So if you can, we have all the treatment in place. We have all the sedimentation basins in place. We really are in good shape, but if you can, just keep that stuff out of our lake.
Sure.
In the first place, that's a great when
you've got that
it.
Option.
Yep.
Which you've used.
Yes,
and
which
that's
is
why.
Wonderful.
Speaking of water treatment, I want to ask you too, there's another project coming to improve the probably the oldest water treatment plant in the city.
Yes, in the 1950s we built a plant and we've remodeled it twice since. But it is actually the best plant we have. We have two plants in town. But it is our main plant.
This is on Ute Street for folks who are listening, right?
It is.
North of downtown, I guess is how I would describe it.
It is. And in fact, that's when we have emergency water needs, which thank God we have not had for a long time. That's our connection to the San Juan River. Pumps from the Willett Ditch and goes directly, doesn't go to the lake, it goes directly to treatment
to that plant.
Plant one. So it's important that we keep it modernized and up to date. And so that one, that design is complete. We're doing some last minute tweaking on that right now, but it is about a $15.4 million project. And we recently got a grant fund for 50% of that. So we're pretty pleased with that.
Very good.
And in today's inflation, that's really going to aid us in being able to keep our rates where we would like to keep them.
Got you. And then the other plant that the water treatment plant is over on English
it is.
Road, I think, right?
That is
that the other one?
That is
on
correct.
That side of town.
That's our treatment plant too, and it's under full design. We've already got 30% design done on it for upgrades, and it will be complete about next spring in its design work. So we're really pleased about that. Overall, we were able to, it looks like we're going to be able to upgrade our full water system treatment for around $30 million. A new plant would have cost us close to $90 million. So we feel really good about that, and we'll have another 25, 30-year life in our plants. And I think our citizens, again, can be proud of the fact that even with that savings, then we have you tack on the 50% grant,
right?
And we're in great shape. So.
There you go. And I guess if they want to see what happens if you don't do some of this maintenance on your plants, just look at the news and what's going on in Jackson, Mississippi.
Yes, that's exactly it. We've been proactive, and it always pays to be proactive.
Right. Very good. Well, David Seifer, we are out of time, but I appreciate you coming in to talk about all the things. I know this is just scratching the surface of all the things that you're involved with and all the projects around the city, but I know this Pinyon Hills extension is a major one. A lot of folks have been waiting and waiting and waiting for this to happen. I think we're excited to see maybe some dirt moving soon, within the year, for
yes.
sure. And good luck with all of it. It's a major project.
Yes, we're really excited about that. And I would invite people, go to the city enhancement site. It's under the public work construction site if you
right.
click on it. Also, probably the very best things to do as you're site surfing on the Farmington's website is to use the search bar. That way you don't have to try to remember all the set of links to go through to get to places.
But you can keep track of it.
Yes, it's good.
As it moves forward. Well, good luck. Hope everything goes smoothly.
Thank
Knock
you.
On wood, and thank you for coming in this morning. Good
you
to
bet.
See you.
My pleasure. Thank you, Scott.
You bet. David Seifer, Public Works Director with the City of Farmington, my guest here on KSJE. KSJE and San Juan College present the Student Success Coaching Tip of the Week.
Hello, this is Emin Chi, bringing you week 4 of Coaching Tips of the Week. This week is resources. There are many resources available on our college campus, both physically and online. Be sure to know these valuable resources if you are unsure of their availability. Do an online search using your college website. If you cannot find the resources on your own, be sure to contact the Student Achievement Center in room 1604. Resources can be found in the following areas: Library Services, Native American Center, Herencia and Latina Center, the Student Achievement Center, the Career Center, Trio Center / Edge, Tutoring Center, the Veterans Center, Financial Aid Office, Advising, the Counseling Center, Disability Services, Business Office, and the Dean of Students, and more.
The Student Success Coaching Tip of the Week, presented by KSJE and the Student Achievement Center at San Juan College. 3 days of wonder as hot air balloons from across the nation fly over our Farmington skies the mornings of September 23rd through the 25th and light up the nights in the midst of vendors and live entertainment. Friday night, they'll be at San Juan College, followed by Patrick and the Las Vegas Band on stage at the Henderson Performing Arts Center. Saturday night, they'll be at Justice Park Ballfields, followed by the Guess Who live at Ricketts Park. All balloon events are free. Find info and concert tickets at fourcornersballoonrally.com. KSJE is proud to support the San Juan Medical Foundation's 42nd annual Walkathon, Saturday, September 17th. The Walkathon is the Foundation's premier annual event, the fundraising effort that supports the Connolly Hospitality House and the San Juan Medical Foundation's mission of enhancing the health and well-being of people in the Four Corners community. Register to walk, sponsor a walker, or make a donation at sanjuanmedicalfoundation.com. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.